Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Assalamu alaikum, ya ukhtis. My name is Kaltoun.
I'm Idris.
And today we've got a brand new episode of our Ramadan series. We hope you enjoy and benefit from this wonderful episode, which will have loads of little pearls of wisdom dropped in from myself and Hawda.
We will hopefully embark you on a journey of truthfulness, honesty,
and spending something today which will benefit you tomorrow.
Indeed.
Without further ado,
that was so fake.
That was actually so fake. Does not sound like we're on BBC News.
And it sounds like I'm one of those holiday people. And hello, good afternoon to sunny Spain.
Oh my God, you're a weather girl.
I'm a weather girl. Guys, salam alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak. Like we said, the first week is over. Ladies, can I just say, because I always start with, can I just say? This Ramadan, alhamdulillah, I just want to say to Jalali wal Ikram, you know, Al-Halim.
Alhamdulillah.
Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Wajib.
Al-Mujib, Al-Wudud, Al-Ghaffar, Ghaffar-Rahim.
I just want to say thank you, Ya Allah. I am so grateful for keeping me steadfast this Ramadan.
Ameen.
It just feels different, guys. Does everyone feel it? I feel like this Ramadan is not a chore for me.
Yeah, I feel like this Ramadan
so
is
motivated.
Special.
Right?
I feel like we're being blessed, Hawda.
Honestly, like usually I lose motivation or like...
It's not even... I feel like, Hawda, there's been massive things that have been happening.
Really?
You know exactly what I'm talking about. Read my eyes. We are being blessed.
We are being blessed.
The town that we're living in is being blessed.
Oh my God, guys, the town
that me and Hawda are living in.
For 40 years and 40 nights.
But can I just say, is that not a sign for the people who reflect?
Wallahi it is. This is what I'm saying. Today, this episode's about gratefulness.
Because how much were we suffering?
Wallahi, the suffering is unreal. Guys, let's take you back to 2015. Right. Marlin, because every day after iftar, we are walking to the 195 bus stop to go all the way to Southall, right? Okay. And now...
And we're battling the time because we're travelling from far away. And obviously, we've taken two little morsels of food and we're
run.
Out the door.
I just remember running up that hill road with my mum, rushing.
I remember getting phone calls now. So the
bus is leaving us. Can you hurry up? Honestly. And now, guys, our little town. Our little village.
Has been blessed.
It's been blessed with a mosque.
Honestly, I just think our town has been favoured.
By Allah.
Yes.
He knew our struggle and he relieved it.
We went through so much. Do you know, we got to the point where I used to think, right, I'm going to hire a car just for Ramadan so that we can go.
Guys, wallahi, just think of that concept.
I used to think about stuff like that.
Is it not sad?
It's actually sad.
And now we are comfortably walking from our house, 1 minute walk to the masjid. Allahu Akbar.
Me and Hawda have a masjid a five minute walk.
Has that ever happened?
That has never happened before. And you know what? The girls that are listening to us that live in our town, because our town is very close, isn't it? We all know each other.
Mm-mm-mm.
Can also attest to the fact that they're equally as happy and feeling as blessed as us to have our very own masjid.
Guys, it's amazing. Honestly, like the concept of having a masjid next to you, the concept of like, just imagine one day you get up and you just pray Maghrib and Isha at the masjid.
Like,
and you sit down and you read Quran. We've
like,
never had that before.
I can go Jum'ah.
Whilst
I'm out on my lunch break.
I'm off on Fridays. I can go Jum'ah too.
Let's go Jum'ah
together. Isn't that amazing?
It's actually amazing. Do you know what it is? Like, a lot of people listening probably have local masjids in their towns and don't understand, like, the struggle that me and Hawda have been through. And the thing is, like, we're I would say we're like 100 times more grateful because of the fact that we've been without that for so long. Like, look at that. There's towns that are like near us that have had masjids, like multiple masjids established for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Whereas with us, it's like...
It's the first time we've ever experienced it.
And we went to Tarawih last night and the imam, was it the imam, was giving a speech basically saying more or less along the lines of this town hasn't had a masjid for 40 years. Can we just eat that? 40 years.
Someone's dua in I was about to reveal. Someone's dua in the town has basically been accepted.
Answered.
It's an unanswered dua that was
literally
answered.
The rafad. Everyone was going through, everyone that lives in our town was going through that same rafad.
I know. But alhamdulillah, and it just shows, you know what really makes me sad, yeah? And I've been listening to a lot of talks with Omar Suleiman. Or Omar.
Me too. I love
anyway,
him.
I really love him. And one of the talks was talking about like how the Sahabas all had like just generally in that time a masjid was like a walk away from them. Just the concept, like a masjid was a home to them. Do you know what I mean? And the fact that we've been without a masjid, like we living where we live and in a country we live, which obviously, what can we say? Like
it's not a Muslim country.
It's not a Muslim country. So, but like we have lived without hearing the adhan, lived without like not having a masjid near us. The chore of going to Eid Salah was just a struggle.
My
guys,
God.
The struggle of going to Eid Salah for us.
Absolutely.
Can't talk about it.
We had to be, oh my God, Carla, there were times like, basically we had to plan the night before because that's how mad it was. Like, if you didn't have a car, it was peak. No cab was picking up your Uber order. If you had a car, it was even worse because there's no parking. We had to travel 3 miles every single Eid, 2 times a year to go and pray Eid Salah in the park.
Mad. I'm sorry, but like, do you know what I mean? And I just feel like it's a... This Eid, we're going to be celebrating in our town.
We're going to the local, mate.
We're going to the local and then I'm going to go off upstairs. I'm going to walk up the road to the cafe and get myself a nice little breakfast.
A little breakfast.
Bada bim, bada boom.
Is it not so surreal?
Like, Allahumma barak. Honestly, I'm so grateful to Allah.
Do you know what it is? It's like, we're going to be so appreciative of that little space.
Yeah.
And like going back to what I said, like, you lot don't know. Honestly, if you got a masjid in your area, wallahi, go there. Like,
take
actually
advantage
go
of
there.
It, man.
Because we struggle.
And you know that space that the masjid is now in was an empty office space for so long, for at least
long.
3-4 years.
No one had that. And one man had the bright idea of converting it into a space for
so smart.
The Muslim brothers and sisters. So may Allah grant
May
Allah bless them. May Allah reward them.
I mean.
Grant them Jannah.
I mean.
Because you've literally saved us mileage, you saved us time, you saved us energy, saved us a lot.
And if you want to donate to the masjid, please message us in our DMs and we'll send it to you so you can support them and make them flourish.
So
I mean,
we can all join in the barakah.
I mean. So yeah, like I said, guys, one second, I need to... I had to burp. I'm so sorry.
Is it just me or do you feel super gassy this time?
Not as much because I'm not eating as many carbs anymore. I feel like carbs are my biggest nightmare.
Oh my God. I'm like, my stomach's going through it.
Really?
Sometimes I feel actual pain.
Can I just say something that's also different from this Ramadan? I don't have mad cravings for food.
Same.
Like, I used to think about food and like go to Sainsbury's, get the ingredients and make it.
You think about the food, you think about preparing the food,
yeah,
you
literally.
Think about what you're going to eat.
I used to search up food.
Like the last 2 hours, we're literally just thinking about indulging.
I don't do that anymore.
I know, but also another thing is it's like early, isn't it?
Yeah, true.
Is
it the time? I just don't know. I genuinely feel like this Ramadan is so different.
It just feels different. Like, I feel like, I'm not going to lie, the first few days were a little bit hard for me, like headaches-wise.
Yeah.
And then after the headaches subsided, it was calm, even almost easy.
Oh my God.
Although I won't be saying that tomorrow because I've just shot myself in the foot, haven't I? Ilahi, please make it easy for me.
I mean, he will. Anyway, moving on, guys. Like I was saying, so I've been watching a lot of Omar Suleiman recently and I finished his Judgment Day. Anyway, I've been listening to Omar Suleiman. Are you happy with that now?
We just had an argument about anglicizing Omar
Suleiman. You know, I actually laugh at myself and I'm like, Hodo Eid.
Because you know what it is? It's like you're still in work mode. Yeah, you haven't code switched.
No, I haven't code switched. You have to wait until the night time. Anyway, so I was watching the Judgment Day series. I'm not saying his name again so you don't laugh. So I was watching the Judgment Day series and it really talks about what happens in the grave. And guys, yeah, I've listened to this episode.
Why would you start with that
no,
one?
No, wallahi, guys, it's awakening for me because it actually scares me. That's the one thing I don't know how to explain to you guys yet. And I feel like we're all friends. So I'm going to be honest. I went through a phase where, and I think a lot of people go through this phase where you feel like you're so consumed by this dunya and like what's coming next and you're just your daily routine. And you know, one time we spoke about how we don't look up in the sky and we just look ahead.
Yeah.
And there's just buildings and people and cars and whatever. Like, I was so consumed with this world, yeah, that I completely forgot that there's an akhirah, that this world is literally a blip, it's nothing. It's like if you get an iPad and you zoom into this world and then you zoom out, this world is like a little dot compared to what is like outwards.
In the grand scheme of things.
Of like what is to come. And like in this episode, I don't know, sometimes you just wake up, I feel like my frontal lobe woke up when I was listening to this. And he was talking about you being in the grave. Obviously, the grave squeezes everyone. That we all know that. And then, like, he spoke about when the angels come to you and then they ask you the three questions and, like, you get scared. And then, like, your salah
protects you. I've seen that one.
And then
your salah stands up.
Yes.
It's the way he's so descriptive. And then he goes, your voluntary prayers will patch up where there's deficiencies.
That's when you're in the mizan. But when you're in the grave, your salah stands up, your fast, your zakah, your sadaqah. And then, like, they all defend you. The Quran that you read stands up.
It's defending you.
And it's saying, no, like, this person was pious.
That's such a good talk.
And honestly, guys, it just scared the life out of me. Because I was like, if you get into the grave, yeah, and those angels come to you, right? And they're horrible angels. They're the scary ones.
Oh, no.
Well, that's it. It's finished for you. That is, like, that is your, that's your thingy.
You know what?
Obviously, you never know what Allah's mercy can bring.
What Allah's plan is for you. Because do you know what it is? I was also reading that, like, there's certain people who are Muslim
that will go to the hellfire. Yeah.
They will have to at least endure a bit of hellfire and then they will come to Jannah. I don't want to do that.
I don't want to endure hellfire, guys. The descriptions of hellfire are so scary.
Oh my God, it actually freaks me out to the point where, like, I am in this state of just anxiety.
Fear, like, I'm so scared to miss a prayer now.
Wallahi.
Because in my head, there's two things that go through my head. The first thing I think about is, what's going to happen? Like, I'm really scared about what's going to happen to me in the grave. But then the other thing that I think about is, if this information came to me and I understood it and I was scared of it and I was still lazy and didn't miss my prayers, that would, like, what are you then?
And also it takes away from the fact that, like, if you're somewhat ignorant, it's walu samahe. Do you know what I mean? But you're not ignorant, you know.
Baby girl, come on now.
You listen to the same talk that we all listen to. You be knowing. Although sometimes you can forget because Allah does often cause people to forget certain things about the deen.
Not with Salah though, come on. Salah is the end of you. We have to be realistic with each other, Kaltun.
But wait, no, of course. I'm just giving you an example.
Sometimes
people forget. But today I was thinking about, what is it that I struggle with when it comes to Salah? What really makes me delay Salah? Sometimes, God, don't want to reveal myself.
We're newly improved.
Hopefully we stay on this
path, inshallah. We will.
But I was thinking about, like, what are the problems? I had to try and identify the little problem areas. And my main one was, like, making wudu.
Really?
I was thinking, oh my God, like,
because wudu cleanses you, baby.
But wait, listen, let me finish. I was thinking, oh my God, but like, I cut the water on, like, and then wait for the water to get hot because I don't like doing wudu with cold water. Like, there was a lot going through my head and it was just causing me to be idle and inactive. So then I thought, you know what, let me go on the internet. And you know, the other day, last week, when you were saying, oh, Allah sends me signs through TikTok.
Yeah.
I went on TikTok. TikTok, and then I see a talk. A man was talking about a lot of the reason why a lot of people delay their salah is because they CBA. It's like the action of doing wudu is like annoying.
Yeah.
So then I'm reading the comments. I'm like, oh my God,
I relate to this.
I'm that person reading the comments. And then someone wrote in the comments something along the lines of like, if you knew the reason why you do wudu, you would never skip doing, you would never delay doing wudu. So then I'm like, okay, Google's, why do we do wudu?
Yeah.
I see that it like literally cleanses you of sins. Did I not get up? Run to the toilet.
You damn near had a shower.
I said, be a habaliti. Give me that water.
Please.
Literally, I was like, are you mad? I don't even care if the water's cold, lukewarm, hot.
The water's cold, it's better for you because you're doing it for Allah. It wakes you up.
Yeah, it's true. You're doing something that you don't like for Allah.
Yeah.
Mate, I was like, wow, it's the little things.
It's the small things. And you know what? We don't want to always scare you guys. But
no,
like,
of course.
Allah's mercy is everywhere.
Exactly. And I just want to bring it back to like, if there's something that you're struggling with, like identify the problem and Google it. Because it's going to blow your mind.
Honestly,
the reason why you do something is going to blow your mind.
It's crazy.
Because sometimes we just blindly do something because we were told to.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons why I was doing stuff like delaying my prayers or just being consumed, I just feel like I was really consumed with the worldly life. And now I'm not gonna say, come on now, like you've got to get rid of everything in your house. And you know, Sahaba lived completely different lives to us. Not on that level. May Allah like reach us that level. But I genuinely felt like I was really consumed about like just this life and like making it and being successful and like
mortgage.
And here's me thinking, wallahi, the fact that I even thought about a mortgage makes me sick. Because I watched a series on riba this week, wallahi, and I nearly cried. I was like, can you believe I even thought about the concept of like, it's not even like war with Allah. Like Allah on the day of judgment will make you stand and he'll say to you, and the prophet is going to be standing there and you're like, and he's going to be like, you waged the war with me and the prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bring your weapons.
Bring your weapons.
Are you dumb?
And you're standing there naked.
Are you dumb? To your Lord.
It's actually
what am I going to say?
There's nothing you can say.
Like riba, usury is a mad thing. So like that's what I'm saying. Mm. Like, thinking about being consumed about this world constantly, and like, I'm not saying you don't need to live your life and do what you need to do. I mean, live your baby girl life, but I'm saying like constantly being consumed and not remembering that we have an akhirah to go to, and not remembering like if we die tomorrow and Allah opens up our grave and we pass the test, like Allah, the grave is going to be so big for us. Like bigger
chilling
than this world. Like before your eye can see, that's how big it is. You're going
to
be chilling.
Little window.
Window to Jannah, you're going to be chilling, wallahi. So in my mind, I think a lot of the reasons why I delayed stuff or like I constantly forget is because I'm consumed by this. And that's what the shaytan wants. He's constantly
bringing
you back to here.
It makes you angry because when you think about the world and the things that you can't achieve, it pisses you off.
Yeah.
So shaytan's putting you in this depressive state because you're like, oh, I want a mortgage. I can't get one. And then like automatically you're just sad. And it's
but
like,
it's okay.
But then when you think about the bigger picture of like, this world ain't even for you, boy. This is not even your like dwelling forever. This is not even where you're supposed to be. This life is literally plague. Like you just have to
It's a test.
It's a test.
Literally, we're literally in a test.
You're in the matrix.
And like you can, and Allah has given us so many cheat codes to pass that test.
Cheat codes to pass the matrix to get to the other side, guys.
Wallahi, it's so, and he's made it so easy. There's forgiveness everywhere. Every time you say astaghfirullah, rabbi fiqli, every time you pray, every time you do tahajjud, every time you do sunnah, mm-hmm. every time you do sadaqah, like there's
every
forgiveness everywhere.
Du'as, every time you do adhkar, your du'as changing your whole qadr. Like there's so many cheat codes.
And like, and imagine the shaytan like really puts us in this box where like we're literally in this little box that we think is our world and that is all we have to live for. And he makes us watch other people. And the concept of, guys, the jealousy from TikTok and social media is too much.
Should we go on a little break?
I actually want to for the last 10 days. And it's like, you don't even mean to be jealous. Like, it's just innate It's human
a natural
nature.
Predisposition.
Like, you want what that person has. And it's just not healthy.
It's normal. It's envy is normal. It's a normal human. Do you know what I mean? Shaitan did all this.
Why leave us alone?
Why didn't you just prostrate?
That's all he had to do. Just prostrate. It's not even a joke, though. Like, how arrogant can you be? Like, the worst thing is, like, he was around a lot and the angels, like, just prostrate. He's not even like us. We haven't even seen anything and we still believe.
Why can't you just prostrate to
Adam? Why are you so arrogant for?
Nah, what's wrong with you? Everyone in that assembly is prostrating, but you decided not to. Like,
you ruined it for us. Like, for real, he ruined it for us. What a hazard.
Oh my God, you know in that assembly, when Adam was created, basically, Adam alayhi salam was shown, like, I don't know how, obviously, because it's some unseen business. I don't know how, but Adam was shown everyone in the world that's ever going to be. Everyone that's ever going to be created. His children of Adam. Yeah. He was shown all of them. And every single one had a number on their forehead, which is the number of years that you're going to live.
Mm.
I know. Then he sees someone in the crowd. This is Umar Sulaiman talking, by the way. This ain't me. He sees someone in the crowd and they're just light. So there's everyone else, but then standing beside these people is just this beam of light, and it's the light's covering a particular
person. I feel like
crying
right now.
Oh my God, don't cry. And the light is Dawood, alayhi salam. Oh. And Dawood had the number 40 on his head. So he's going to live for 40 years. Adam was like, "What?" So first he's like, why has he got 40 on his head? He's going to live for 40 years. Then he was like, oh, that's not a lot of time. So then Adam gives him 20. I think it's 20 of his years. Isn't that so sweet? Because he's basically saying, like, after me is my offspring, who's basically going to build, like, Islam. It's going to spread the message. Like, I need him to have more years.
Mm.
And I was just thinking, like, imagine that number on the people's foreheads can literally be changed if you just make dua for a longer life. How mad is that?
Subhanallah.
Isn't it?
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. So if you was to, like, let's say, for example, it was destined for you to die tomorrow, and tonight you made a prayer and said, Ya Allah, like, please preserve my life for X amount of years longer.
And he actually
and the number changes.
That's so crazy. That's so crazy.
But that's just the power of dua. It literally changes the course your life is going to take.
It's crazy. It's not crazy, but you know what I mean? Like, it's insane to us, but the concept is, it's mad. But to me, guys, like, honestly, the way this Ramadan has made me feel, may Allah keep us steadfast.
I mean.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, like. Anyway, forget that we just did that sound. But yeah, I hope Allah keeps us steadfast. There's so much I wanted to talk about, of things that I listen to. But
you know when you're listening to a lecture, do you start thinking about, you start having certain questions in your head, or you start pondering on things, and then you start remembering things in your life as well, and you're like, oh my God, that's what that meant. Do you know what I mean? Mm. You start thinking about things like, oh, that's why I went through X, Y, and Z. That's how I've been feeling.
By the way, and I'll be honest, I've just feel like I lost myself for a long time, and I felt really scared the past few weeks. Not weeks, the last week.
Yeah.
So like this whole week that I've been listening to stuff, I'm kind of coming out of that, because I keep need to remind myself that Allah is merciful and Allah is ever forgiving, and like Allah wants you to do good and he always wants you to come back to him. And another thing that's amazing about Allah's mercy is like whenever you do something and then you come back to Allah, like he cherishes you some more. Like, and it's to me, I just think that's more beautiful, and that's something more that I want to think about than the fear of death.
Yeah, but I think...
Or like being consumed by my sins.
Yeah, but the thing is, Hoda, like, you have to put it into perspective. We, as a species, we're designed to sin. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And I think the real test is not just coming out of that sin, but basically replacing the sin with something good each time.
Yeah.
So let's say, for example, today... You do a madness, yeah? Let's say for the span of 1 year, you've been doing a madness. So obviously, if you're consistent upon madness, it's going to take you further away from Islam, right?
Mm.
And it's going to, basically, it's like you're piling up more sins.
Mm-mm-mm.
But then let's say, for example, you're someone within that year who's sinning consistently, but then there's like little good deeds here and there being added in. So like, it's like you're bringing that scale of bad deeds down.
Yeah.
So I just think life is about like, balance. You've got to think of it about like as balance. Like occasionally your sins are going to go up, you have to counteract it. Occasionally your good deeds are going to go up, you're gassed, you're happy, your man's high.
The thing is, you don't know though.
You don't know.
You can't see it. But and this, that's what makes me crazy.
The problem is if you're inactive and not doing things that you're supposed to do, obviously...
You feel anxious.
You feel like, I need to be doing a bit more. Good things.
No, I get you. Honestly, in my head, I'm just like,
that's just the life. That's the
yin and the yang.
Yeah, that's just the life that we're in. It's always going to be like that. So I don't think we should put pressure on ourselves. We just need to focus on the good.
No, I agree. I think focusing on the good and remembering Allah's merciful and remembering the fact that we still have a chance. The people in the grave don't. We do. Yeah, so that's like my main things. And my last thing that I wanted to talk about is this year I'm really making du'a to go Umrah.
Yeah.
I really want to go Umrah.
Oh my God, imagine me and you.
Listen, we've already been to the Masjid Al-Aqsa.
Imagine the kids. Oh my God.
We've been to Masjid Al-Aqsa. Not a lot of people can say that.
Actually, yeah, we actually, me and Hadar, not to toot our own horns, but we've done a lot of, you know,
crazy stuff.
But you know what I realized, hold on, a long time has lapsed between that particular good deed that we did.
That's valid.
And now, and there's a lot of things that we need to patch up.
Guys, I didn't say that to show off.
Yeah. But I'm just saying there's a lot of things that we need to patch up.
Yeah.
And valid. And you know what? The best day ever, the best night ever is coming up, guys, in about 2 weeks' time.
It is.
And like, guys, me and Hadar, wallahi, yeah.
Show them the dua.
Wallahi, me and Hadar today, when we discovered the difference between Rabbi Ighfirli and Allahumma inna ka'afu, wallahi, our mind was blown.
Oh,
so basically,
explain it.
My TikTok algorithm at the moment
is amazing.
Like, so good.
The FYP is just chef's kiss at the moment. Dua after dua after dua. And I just keep writing them down.
Yeah, literally. So today, I'm scrolling through TikTok. And there's a brother talking about Laylatul Qadr. And basically, taking advantage of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So he says that if you pray to Hajjud on Laylatul Qadr, let's say for example, and the thing is you're not going to miss it if you go to the masjid every single day for those 10 days. One of those days is going to be Laylatul Qadr.
Yeah.
And if you recite the dua, you know the dua, although I'll let you say the dua.
Why are you making me?
Sorry.
Wait, let's do it together. I don't even know the beginning, but I forgot.
So it's Allahumma.
So Allahumma innaka afwan
tuhibbu afwan fa'fu anni. So if you recite that dua on Laylatul Qadr, your sins are going to be forgiven. But wait, your sins aren't only just going to be forgiven. They're going to be wiped clean. The angels aren't going to remember you commit those sins. That sin isn't going to appear in your book of deeds. That sin is going to be it's gone. It's erased.
Only Allah.
It's between you and Allah.
Isn't that crazy?
Whereas, what's the difference that people usually that make dua for forgiveness? The sin is
that's
still
like, forgive
there.
Me.
Yeah, the sin is still in the books and stuff.
And the angels know.
And the angels know, and it's forgiven. Like you're not going to be tested for it. Like you're not going to be tried for that particular sin, but it's there. It's known. It's a known.
The
sin.
Ground that you walked on when you did the sin knows everything.
Everything
knows
that sin was committed by you. But if you Laylatul Qadr is your one chance, your one opportunity to literally have every single one of your sins, you're gonna be like a newborn baby. Can we just do that for a second?
And that is the blessings of Allah. Look how many chances He gives us.
Is that not the biggest cheat code of life?
Why it is.
Mate, I'm going to masjid every single day for those.
I'm writing
days.
It on my hand in my phone. I need to memorize it. In my sujood, I need to say
I'm writing it on my hand as I'm having it on a piece of paper right there in case I forget it.
It's like, man, what was the
Nachi.
Oh my God, guys, something else I remembered on the Day of Judgment, right? This really scared me. But it, like, I'm saying this to, I'm trying to explain to you how these things made me feel, because I didn't know this before. So in the Day of Judgment, Allah, you're going to be standing in front of Allah. This is when you get your book, and Allah is going to be asking you about your life, what you did with your life, etc. When Allah tells you to speak, you're automatically forced to speak the truth. You can't lie there and then, yeah?
Yeah, yeah?
Which obviously you can't lie to Allah. And then Allah, let's say, talks about your good deeds and your bad deeds, and some of your good deeds get taken away by others because of your backbiting that you did and all that stuff. So the mizan's going up and down, you're thinking, rah, what happened to all the stuff that I did? And then Allah's like, girl, you've been talking too much, basically, yeah?
You better shut your mouth.
You know what I mean? And then you're trying to, so the person, basically, the example of the person, he starts arguing with Allah, not in a negative way, but he's like, Allah, what happened to all my stuff? Then Allah's like, he shuts his mouth for him. And then he was like, Allah goes, I have witnesses.
No.
Yeah? Then the man's like, only I can be the witness. I was the one who did it. What do you mean?
Oh, no.
Allah closes his mouth and his limbs start speaking.
Oh,
guys.
No.
His hands, his thighs, his legs, his ears, his mouth. Like, they start talking and they start telling what happened. And they're obviously forced to say the truth as well.
Oh, that's peak.
And that just, guys, that threw me. That threw me off. Because I was like.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's like tangible, intangible things are going to be snitching.
Listen, the Quran, everything.
Snitching.
But also, on the good side, all those, let's say, your body, the Quran, the earth, where you walked, where you prayed, they're all going to intercede for you in a good way as well, because they're going to say, she prayed on me.
Yeah.
And this is the surah she read me, like she read me for so long.
You know, like, for example, if you were to stop praying in a particular area, that ground would be so sad where you used to pray.
Aww.
Isn't that sad? But can I just say, guys, Great Reset is coming up. The big reset.
Yeah.
What's that? Ilaylatul Qadr.
Allah, the big reset. I thought you were talking about
that. So you know what? Hopefully no limbs are going to be speaking out against you, no ground. And we're going to pray on Laylatul Qadr. We're going to make that special dua.
And we're going to just remember Allah's mercy.
Exactly. And we're going to think good of our Lord.
Ameen.
And we're going to take part in the Great Reset.
We are going to take part in the Great Reset. And you guys hold us accountable. And we love you guys always.
We love you guys always. Should we move on to the stories?
Go, Colton, it's your turn. I don't think anyone can read my story.
Okay, so my story is a little bit sad, so I'm not going to lie. But it's a good, it's got like a very good...
I've actually got another story, but carry on.
Yeah, my story is not a good story. It's a great story, but it's got a very important...
Guys, if you're enjoying this episode, please, please leave us a lovely review on Apple and Spotify podcast. We'd really appreciate it. Thank you so much in my holiday voice.
All right, this could be the content you could be getting going forward. If you like it enough, if we're seeing comments saying, guys, please...
I'm just saying, I'm making sincere dua that Allah steers this podcast in a good way.
In a good way. This is the direction we're trying to go.
Because wallahi, every day I can't be talking about, you know, he did this and he did that.
I know, I'm
sick. When the Jannah is waiting for me. Jannah til Firdaus, inshallah.
The Great Reset is happening, guys.
And I hope we meet each other all there, Ameen.
Inshallah.
Start the story.
What was I going to say? Okay, let me just start
the Great Reset.
The Great Reset, guys, is upon us.
Why do you keep calling it that?
Shall I make you laugh? So conspiracy theorists online believe that there's going to be...
That's what I think. That's what I thought you were referencing.
They believe that there's going to be a Great Reset. But I think in the metaphysical world, Laylatul Qadr is a Great Reset and is the Great Reset that we want to be taking part in, not the ones the conspiracy theorists are talking about. The conspiracy theorists are talking about some market collapse and recession.
Yeah. and no internet for
things that don't
it's worldly life.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
That's not what I'm about
that's
anymore.
That's the life that we're on now. It's a worldly life.
we're not in that life no more.
No, honestly, for real guys, if this is a reset for us, may Allah make this Ramadan that changes us all to be our best, and we never ever go back to who we were before. Can we start the story now?
Right, so the story is called Whoever Spends Something Today Will Benefit From It Tomorrow. So whoever spends something today will benefit from it tomorrow, and whoever does not spend will come to find nothing, and he will have a great loss in the house of dwelling in the hereafter.
Can you animate it for us? Like, I'm a child. I love animated stories.
Because this story is written in big boy English, I'm not going to lie. Okay. But I'm going to try my best to dumb it down for Hawthor.
Thank you.
So some of the Salaf said, O son of Adam, you will only live on the day of judgment in what you built, and you will find on that day what possessions you have prepared in life. Can you guess what that's about? So you'll find in Jannah, no, you will only live on the day of judgment in what you have built, and you will find on that day what possessions you have prepared in your life.
Is that Zakah and Sadaqah?
Yeah, well done. Oh my God, that's sick. Okay. So a woman entered upon Aisha radiallahu anha, and her hand was paralyzed. You probably might know this story.
No, I don't.
So the woman's hand was paralyzed. She said to the mother of the believers, I went to sleep yesterday and my hand was healthy, and I woke up and it was paralyzed, just random paralysis. And she came to see Aisha radiallahu anha.
Subhanallah.
So Aisha said, how is that? And then she said, I had wealthy parents, and my father used to pay zakah, host guests, give to beggars, and he did not see any good except that he would do it. So that's the dad. The dad was a giving person.
Mm.
As for my mother, she was stingy and did nothing good with my father's wealth. Then my father died, and my mother died only 2 months after him.
I'm scared.
Oh my God. Okay. So I saw my father in a dream last night, and he was wearing 2 yellow garments, and in front of him was a flowing river.
Aww.
I said, Father, what is this? He said, whoever does good in this life will see it. This is what Allah has given me. I said, what has happened to my mother? He asked, your mother died? And then she said, yes. He said, she's been turned away from me, so look for her on your left. So she turns to her left, and she sees her mother standing there, naked, covering her lower half with a rag in her hand. So pay attention to the rag in her hand, and was a piece of fat. There was also a piece of fat. So a rag and a piece of fat, covering herself with the rag. And she was calling out, my sadness, my thirst. That's what she was saying. My sadness, my thirst. When she became tired, she would rub that piece of fat with her hand and then lick it, while in front of her was a flowing river. So I said, oh, mother, why are you crying out of thirst? And there is a flowing river in front of you. And then she said, I'm not allowed to drink from it. I said, can I give you some water? She said, I wish you would do that. So I filled my hand with water and let her drink. And when she swallowed it, I heard a voice on my right. Whoever has given this woman water, may his hand be paralyzed.
Allah.
And then repeated it twice. Then I woke up and my hand was paralyzed and I'm not able to do anything with it. So yeah, so that's why she woke up with a paralyzed
hand. But how did she give her the water? Was the water next to her?
So she was in the dream and she's able to touch the flowing river to give her the water.
Oh, so she gave her the water from the river.
Yeah, so the hand that she used to give her the water was the hand that was paralyzed. Anyway, Aisha asked, did you recognize the rag she was wearing? I said, yes. Oh, mother of the believers. So she's speaking to Aisha now. She said, it was exactly the same one I saw her wearing, for I had never seen my mother give anything as charity, except that one day my father slaughtered a bull. So a beggar came to ask for some. So my mother gave him a bone that had some fat on it. And I saw one day that a beggar asked her for charity. So she gave him that exact rag. Aisha radiallahu anha said, Allah is the most great. So she goes, Allahu Akbar, Allah has told the truth and the messenger has delivered the message. And then the message is, so whoever does an atom's weight of good will see it, and whoever does an atom's weight of evil will see it. And Surah Zalzalah. So basically, see how she was covered with a rag and she had a piece of fat that she was licking?
That's what she gave to someone.
That's what she gave. So this is a big message to say, guys, don't forget to pay your zakat. Don't forget to pay zakat. It's, what is it, 2.5% of your annual,
but you know
of
what
all
I,
your
yeah,
wealth.
It is. But you know what I was thinking about? You've got to pay zakat on your dahab, and I've got a little bit of dahab. How do I figure that out?
So you've got to calculate it in terms of how many
grams it is,
and then work out what the monetary figure is. And then you've got to add that monetary figure to your overall savings, and then divide, take away 2.5%, which is quite difficult to do. You'd have to go to a gold shop and say, can you weigh my dad?
I can't remember how much it was.
Anyway, so yeah, that's
the story.
That's the story. Bit of a mad one, isn't it? Guys, but the moral of the story is, anytime you see an opportunity to do a good thing, just do it. Honestly, just do it. Hasten to do it. Don't even be lazy about it, because whoever does an atom's weight of good will see it. An atom's weight of evil. But it's okay. Inshallah, may Allah allow us to live till Laylatul Qadr, inshallah, so that we can take part in the great reset. Inshallah.
Okay, guys, I've got you. Right, so my story is a cute love. It's the love story of Zainab bint Muhammad radiallahu anha, the eldest daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So she is his first daughter from his first wife, which is Khadija radiallahu anha. So Zainab was the Prophet's daughter and the cousin of Abu Ilyas, who was Khadija radiallahu anhu's nephew. So he was one of the nobles of the Quraysh, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam loved him very much. One day, Abu Ilyas went to the Prophet ﷺ before he had received his message of prophethood and said, He goes to the Prophet, I want to marry your eldest daughter. So the Prophet replied, I must ask her first. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, went to Zainab and asked her, and he goes, your cousin came to me and he wishes to marry you. Do you accept him as your husband? He goes, her face went red, she blushed and she smiled. And so Zainab bint Muhammad basically said yes to him and said, I want to marry him.
Oh, wow.
So Zainab bint Muhammad married Abu Ilyas. Also, what a good lesson from that is, yeah, how when the guy said, can I marry your daughter, the Prophet actually went to go ask her.
And he said, let me go and ask her.
Instead of just saying,
it's her choice.
It's done. It's choice. Do you see that?
Choice.
The Prophet's merciful. Thank you very much.
I clocked that straight away,
right? Anyway, so Zainab bint Muhammad married Abu Ilyas, the beginning of a great love story. They had two children, Ali, who died in childhood, and Umayma, who was married to Ali radiallahu anha after the death of Fatima radiallahu anha. When Umayma was a small child, the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to carry her on his shoulders while he prayed. He used to put her down to prostrate, then pick her up again as he rose. The Prophet, peace be upon him, once promised to give an onyx necklace to her whom I love the best. And his wives expected him to give it to Aisha, but he presented it to Umayma. On a different occasion, he gave her a gold ring that arrived from the Emperor of Abyssinia.
Ooh,
cute. Nice. Anyway, so Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became a prophet at this point. So this is when he's 40 years old. He's received the wahi while Abu Ilyas was away. He was away from Mecca. So Abu Ilyas, her husband, he's a merchant, he's a businessman. So he goes away to Sham and all these different places quite often. And the Prophet's calling, so Jibreel came to the Prophet while he was away. So Abu Ilyas returned to find that his wife became Muslim. So she was one of the first people to become Muslim. And when he first came back, his wife said, I have great news for you. And he stood up and left her. Zainab was surprised and followed him as she said, my father became a prophet and I have become Muslim. He replied, why didn't you tell me first? Hence, a big problem began between the two of them, a problem of religion and belief. She told him, I wasn't going to disbelieve in my father and his message. He is not a liar and he's the most honest and the trustworthy. As we remember, Muhammad al-Amin. Mm-hmm. So he goes, she goes, I'm not the only believer. My mother, my sisters have become Muslim. My cousin Ali ibn Abi Talib became a Muslim. Your cousin Uthman became a Muslim. Your friend Abu Bakr became a Muslim. And he replied, well, as for me, I don't want people to say he let down his people and his forefathers to please his wife. Anyway, she goes, I'm not accusing your father of anything. Then he said, so will you excuse me and understand? So she replied, who will excuse and understand you if I don't? Anyway, she goes, I will stay beside you and help you until you reach the truth. And she kept her word. Anyway, she said she's going to stand beside him and she'll help him reach the truth. The Quraysh at this point, when they found out that Prophet Muhammad became a Muslim and all his people around him, his core family group became Muslim, three of his daughters were married to Quraysh members, like Abu Lahab's, I think his sons or his nephews, and they all divorced them. So Zainab was the only one that wasn't divorced by her husband. So the Quraysh pressured her husband to divorce Zainab, saying that they would give him any woman he liked in exchange. But her husband said that he didn't want any other women, so they continued to live together, despite his refusal to convert to Islam. Zainab remained in Mecca when other Muslims migrated to Medina. Abu Ilyas remained an unbeliever and then came the migration. Zainab went to her father and asked him for permission to stay with her husband. The Prophet ﷺ replied, stay with your husband and children, but he was really sad about that. He didn't want her to stay.
Yeah, it's a bit of a sticky one, isn't it?
Yeah, so Zainab stayed in Mecca while her dad he migrated to Medina until the Battle of Badr occurred. Abu Ilyas was fighting in the army of the Quraysh against the Muslims. For Zainab, it meant that her husband will be fighting her father, a time Zainab always feared, and she kept crying. She goes, oh Allah, I fear one day the sun may rise and my children become orphans or I lose my father. Abu Ilyas was compelled to go along with the Quraysh army. He continued to fight with them. He did not really have the desire to fight the Muslims, nor did he feel any inclination to join them, but his position among the Quraysh, because he was one of the noble ones.
He's just pressure.
To honor and trust, he was compelled to go, along with their campaign against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Battle of Badr ended in a terrible defeat for the Quraysh and the forces of Shirk. Some were killed and some were taken prisoner and some managed to escape. Among those who were taken prisoner was Abu Ilyas. Husband of Zainab. The news of his capture reached Mecca. Zainab asked, what did my father do? They told her the Muslims won. So she prayed to Allah, thanking him. Then she asked, what did my husband do? They said he was captured. She said, I'll send a payment to release him. She didn't own anything of much value, so she took off her mother's necklace. So this is a necklace that was dear to her, that was given to her by Khadija radiallahu anha, and the Prophet often saw this necklace on her.
Oh no.
So while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting and taking payments and releasing the captives, he saw Khadija's necklace. He held it up and asked, whose payment is this? And they said, Abu Ilyas ibn Rabi. He cried and said, this is Khadija's necklace. As soon as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the necklace, he had a feeling of extreme compassion and his heart palpitated for the great memory. The companions who were present there gazed in amazement, having been captivated by the magnificence of the situation. The Prophet was really shy to ask the companions, because obviously they've all won the war together and they're all like taking these captives and taking the bounty, if that makes sense. So he quietly asked the messenger, he quietly asked the Sahaba, this necklace belongs to Khadija and it obviously belongs to Zainab and the captive is obviously her husband. Can I please return the necklace and let him go? And the Sahaba was like, Ya a messenger of Allah, you can do what you like. Mm. But it's so sweet that he asked.
Yeah.
He didn't just, because even though he's a leader, he didn't just do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Prophet gave the necklace to Abu Ilyas and said to him, tell Zainab not to give away Khadija's necklace. Then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Abu Ilyas, can we speak privately?
Who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked?
Just before he released him. He said, he took him aside and said, Allah has ordered me to separate between a Muslim and a disbeliever. So could you return my daughter to me? Abu Ilyas reluctantly agreed. He had to obviously agree, he just released him, do you know what I mean? Mm. So Zainab stood on the gates of Mecca waiting for her husband's arrival. When he finally came, he said, I am going away. She said, where to? He replied, it is not me who's going away, it is you. You are going to your father and we must separate because you are Muslim. because you are Muslim. Obviously, she was implored by that. She was really sad. She goes, will you become Muslim and come with me? Mm. And he refused. Bear in mind, it sounds like he's not in love with her.
Like, what's going on?
I know. Bear in mind, it sounds like he's not in love with her, but he actually truly loves her. And it's really sad for him at this point because... Yeah. In his mind, he's like, I'm not going to choose this religion, but like, I have to respect the Prophet because he released me. He could have just, do you know what I mean?
Also, kept there's me prisoner. Pressure of like the Quraysh. They're a big faction. It's do you crazy. Know what I mean? There's a lot of like noble tribesmen. That he's one of them.
Exactly. Zainab accepted this instruction. About a month after the battle, Zainab's adopted brother Zayd arrived in Mecca to escort her to Medina. She arrived and her brother-in-law, Kenan, led the camel to Zayd in broad daylight. So Zayd arrived in Mecca to escort her to Medina. She entered and her brother-in-law Kenan led the camel to Zayd in broad daylight. The Quraysh perceived this as an unnecessary flaunting of Muhammad's triumph at Badr. A group of them pressured Zainab and overtook her in a certain area that she was in. A man named Habar ibn al-Aswad threatened her with a lance and pushed her. She fell out of her horse and onto a rock. Kenan showed the arrows in his, is it quaver? Quiver? Okay. Quiver? He basically used his arrows and threatened to kill anyone who came any closer. Then Abu Sufyan arrived, telling Kenan to put away his bow so that they could discuss it rationally. He said that they had no intention of keeping a woman from her father in revenge for Badr, but it was wrong of Kenan to humiliate the Quraysh further by parading her removal in public. He must do it quietly when the chatter had died down. Kenan took Zainab home again. Then she suffered a miscarriage, losing a great deal of blood, which she attributed to having been assaulted by Habar. A few nights later, Kenan took her quietly to meet Zayd and he escorted her to Medina. Anas ibn Malik recalled seeing Zainab in Medina wearing stripped silk cloth. So Zainab took her son and daughter and traveled to Medina for 6 years. She refused to remarry, hoping that one day Abu Ilyas would come.
Abu Ilyas!
In her absence, Abu al-As ibn Rabi wrote a poetry for her. He goes, I remember Zainab when she leaned on the waymark. I said to the person who lived in the haram, water for the daughter of the trustworthy. May Allah reward her. Virtuous she is. Every husband praises what he knows. After 6 years, Abu Ilyas was traveling in a caravan from Mecca to Syria. Ooh. Zainab did not see her husband again until 1627 AD, guys.
How many years has passed? Six?
I think so. So 6 years has passed. When he entered her house in Medina by night, asking for protection. So what basically, let me explain what happened. So they missed the part out of the story. So basically, Abu Ilyas... Like I said, he was a merchant, he was traveling. So he used to take lots of goods for the Quraysh to other areas like Sham, Babylon, all them areas, yeah? And basically one night his caravan was taken. It was like he was robbed he wasn't robbed, but the Muslims captured him. And the deal back then was if the Christians capture you, they take your bounty and you basically bounce. And if the Muslims get your stuff, they take it and they carry on. So the Muslims captured his stuff. And then he basically ran for protection, right? All the bounty got taken off him and then he left, he fled. He went to go protection. Then he basically went to go look for Zainab, right?
Oh.
That nighttime to be protected because he was afraid for his life.
Oh, because he was in the op block.
He was in the ops area, he was in the Muslims area and he can't basically be there. So when he entered the house in Medina by night asking for protection, he knocked on her door shortly before the dawn prayer and she opened the door and asked him, did you become Muslim? He said, no. He goes, no, I come as a fugitive. She implored him once more, can you become Muslim? Again, his answer was negative. Do not worry, she said. Welcome, my cousin, and welcome the father of Ali and Umaymah. After the Prophet ﷺ prayed the dawn prayer, in a gathering with the people, they heard a voice from the back of the mosque. I have freed Abu Ilyas ibn Raib. Zainab basically came in with her ex-husband. And she was so badass, can I just say?
I know, Zainab's like, my man.
I know, I love that for her though. She goes, Zainab had, she basically came into the masjid and said, I have granted Abu Ilyas free. She goes, Zainab granted him freedom. And the Prophet ﷺ asked, What have you heard? And they all said, yes, Messenger of Allah. And Zainab said, he is my cousin and the father of my children, and I have freed him. The Prophet ﷺ stood up and said, oh people, I declare that this man was a very good son-in-law, and he never broke his promise and never did never did he tell lies. So if you accept, I will return his money back and let him go. So at this point, the prophet finds out that obviously he was captured and his bounty was taken. So he's given back the bounty to him and he's basically said, go. So like, look at the prophet's mercy. How many times has he basically let this man go?
I know, he's just getting free pass after free pass.
I know.
But it shows there's something good's going to happen. Anyway, I know, I can feel it.
So he goes, I will return his money back and let him go. If you refuse, it's your decision and I will not blame you for it. So he always gives the option to the Sahaba because it's like a ruling for everyone. So the companions agreed and said, we will give him his money. So the Prophet ﷺ said to Zainab, we have freed the one you have freed, O Zainab. Then he ﷺ went to her and told her, be generous to him. He is your cousin and the father of your children, but don't let him get near you. He is prohibited from you. And she replied, sure, father. So she went in and told her husband, Abu Ilyas. She was like to him, didn't you miss us at all? Won't you become Muslim and stay with us? But he refused. Abu Ilyas then took the money and returned to Mecca. Once he returned...
What's he doing? Honestly, I'm pissed. I'm really annoyed by Abu Ilyas right now. Like, how many chances is he gonna get to see his beloved Zainab?
So once he returned, he stood up and announced, oh people, here is your money. Is there anything left? Like, is there anything basically taken? Mm. They replied, no, Abu Ilyas, there's nothing left. Thanks for everything. Everything's there, basically. So Abu Ilyas said, I testify that there is no God but
Allah. Wait, go back. He goes to Mecca.
Okay, I'll paraphrase.
Yeah, so, because...
Abu Ilyas...
So he's left Zainab.
Abu Ilyas left Zainab. Zainab was like, don't you miss us? Why won't you become Muslim? What is going on?
Mm.
Babe, like, come back.
Come back to me.
Do you know? So he was like... He didn't say anything. He just left. He went back because he's got this huge bounty of goods for the Quraysh that he uses to get them more money and he sells. Do you know what I mean? He's a businessman. So because this bounty was taken from him, he was like, I'm not going to take any risks. Mm. So he takes the bounty back to the Quraysh and he brings everyone out and he says, listen, this is everything that you gave me. Has anything been taken?
Is anything They're missing?
Like, is anything missing? They're like, no, everything's there. Then he stands in front of them. In front of the Quraysh. And he says to them, I testify that there's no God but Allah and that Muhammad is his messenger.
Oh, dear.
And then he went back to Medina and ran.
Wait. Oh, so he had to just run away from
Quraysh. He dipped after he said that.
He said, bye.
He said, safe, yeah. Then he went back to Medina and ran to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, dear Prophet, you freed me yesterday and today I say that I testify that there's no God but Allah and you are his messenger. He asked the Prophet, will you give me permission to go get my Zainab back?
Aww.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled and said, come with me. And then he took him to Zainab's house and he knocked on her door.
Oh my God, this
the
is
Prophet
so
sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh Zainab, your cousin came to me and asked if he can be returned to you. And just like those years, her face went red and she was blushing and she smiled. Basically, they got married again. Aww. And that was that.
That's lovely. Isn't that a lovely story?
I know. Shall I ruin it for you guys a little bit?
Does he die in a battle?
No. So basically, a year later, she dies.
Oh, no.
A year later, she dies. But Abu Ilyas shed tears because of her death and drove those who were around him to tears. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with his eyes full of tears and a heart full of sorrow. Zainab's death reminded him of the death of his wife, Khadija. Mm. And he told the woman who gathered around Zainab's corpse, wash her three times. Yeah. Anyway, and then a year later, he dies. So they're joined.
They always say that together. Like, if you, that if the love of your life passes away, you're just going to die like a year later.
But may Allah reunite them in Jannah.
Ameen.
Such a beautiful story.
People don't last long without their babes.
I know, they love their babes. Like, and I love how patient Zainab was.
And I love how like they kept being drawn back together and then pulled apart and then drawn together.
But I feel like a lot of what forced him to become Muslim is the behaviour of the Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the character.
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Anyway,
he just had like very good. He was just like,
So wholesome.
He's just chilled.
I know.
Such a nice guy.
Amazing. May we get to meet him and may he intercede. May we be the people that he intercedes for on the Day of Judgment.
I mean.
There's only a set amount of people, you know.
And you could be with a lucky few.
Indeed. Right, anyway, can you get the cookies out?
Yeah, so guys, me and Hawthor are going to try something really special on this episode. This has never been done before.
No.
Never seen.
Never heard.
So we're going to try. Right, there's a box for you and a box for me. Shall I lift this up? No, I can't.
No.
So this is for you.
Ooh. Right, guys, we are going to taste test this amazing brand.
This selection of cookies by Bunyu.
Bunyu on Instagram. Make sure you check her out. She's a lovely, lovely girl. We just met her outside. She thought about this amazing business idea of creating cookies that are not just ordinary cookies.
They're like New York style cookies.
They're like filled with goodness.
Bismillah.
Right, you have to bite it,
okay.
And you're going to have to describe what it tastes like,
okay,
to the girlies on the audio. Bismillah. Mm. It tastes like a summer's day. You've got your makeup on, a brand new outfit.
Mm.
You've just stepped out. It's 6 o'clock, the sun is shining. You're meeting your friends.
Mm.
You're happy. You've got money in your pocket. And you're feeling good. How does yours taste?
My one tastes like an autumn evening. It's raining. You're sitting in a warm cafe. You're with your friends. You're drinking a pumpkin spice latte.
Mm.
A coffee shop that's not on the boycott list. And you're having the amazing red velvet cookie. It's just so nice.
Oh my God, the hazelnut in this is so nice. Mm. Guys.
Have you tried the red one yet?
Okay, no.
Let's do the red one. She baked this with her hands. We have to go to this store.
These are like on another level.
Well, I've never tried cookies like this before.
They're so nice. Guys, please support our sister.
Oh, I'm about it.
She's called Bunyu on Instagram. Make sure you order from her.
It's spelled B-U-N-Y-U. Best cookies in London. I'm so sorry. Hands down. I want to try pistachio now. On that lovely night, me and Hawthor wanted to say a massive thank you for getting to this part of the episode right at the end. Thank you so much. We really hope you enjoyed the episode. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, download. Keyword being download, share, leave a review.
Can you hear me eat him?
And do all that good stuff.
Because this is so good. Guys, don't forget to go support our good sis Bunyu. Because these cookies,
to die for.
After fasting, it hits the spot. That's all I'm saying.
I feel like I've ruined them all.
You have. And Colton's just eaten all of mine. She thinks she's going to go home with four
brand new cookies.
And that ain't happening, sister. That ain't happening. Anyway, we love you guys. Have
Bye.
A good night.
Mwah.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast. And this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.